Blog Talk Radio.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
God in the Midst, Get 'Em Radio presents Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Colossians 2, verse 3 says, "In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." The Word of God is a gold mine. If you enjoy mining for gold nuggets in the Word of God, this broadcast is for you. The Lord has gifted Dr. Lorraine Nabarro to uncover hidden treasures in the Bible that will delight you as he reveals a different perspective of his word. So get your pick and shovel, turn your mining hat light on, and let's dig into the Word of God.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
Hello, and welcome to God in the Midst Radio. My name is Dr. Lorraine Nabarro, and this is Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. We've been doing a series on wells, and today we're going to look at providential provision. Let's open with a word of prayer. Gracious everlasting God, we are grateful for our time together in your word. We thank you for being willing to meet with us. We know that we have access to the throne of grace by the blood of Jesus, and we are mindful of that sacrifice, and we are grateful for that provision. Thank you, Lord, for our time with you, that you make it fruitful and meaningful in our lives, that we may be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, praise the Lord, we've looked at all kinds of wells, and today we're going to look at a little bit different situation. Now, this is one that I have mentioned before, I know at some point, because it's kind of one I refer to, and I've shown it for one thing, but I want to dig a little deeper into the background of this one today. Last time we looked at the wells of refuge, and we looked at sort of men on the run, as it were. Men on the run, people who'd left home because of things that had happened, and they found refuge by a well. We talk about Moses and Jacob. Today we're going to look at another kind of a refugee situation, somebody on the run. But we're going to look at God's provision in it, his providential provision, and how there's something wonderful for us there, but also to look at the background of it. We're going to look, this time we're still in the book of Genesis, and we're going to look in chapter 21. And hopefully we'll see a few little things that maybe you didn't see. We kind of develop stories in our mind about things, and we don't always see the upside of things or the other side of things. Genesis 21 tells the story of Sarah conceived and had a child in her old age, that we know. And when he was his son Isaac was eight days old, God commanded him to circumcise him. Abraham was 100 years old, okay, when his son Isaac was born to him. So I want you to remember, he was 100 years old, all right? That you probably won't have any hard time remembering. But anyway, we often think of Hagar and the birth of Ishmael. Okay, we're going to go on down here. We're just going to read a little bit. The child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. Verse 9, and Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which was born unto Abraham, mocking, okay, making fun. This, he was going to be a threat. Now, Isaac is the son of promise. He was the one who was going to inherit, but Ishmael was older. Now, one of the things we should see in this, too, is oftentimes our own attitudes, our own not coming to terms with our own sin, our own choosing not to look at things a certain way, can infect and affect others, and we may not even be aware of it. That's often, I think, especially if you're in a position of leadership, if you're a pastor, you have to watch it. There's grace for you, that's true. But remember that, you know, people pick up things from you, and it can affect them. That's one of the greatest lessons I learned in pastoring, is while I can then set my heart right with God, but if I've affected somebody else and they don't, then that can lead to their peril. And that's a weighty thing to have on your shoulders. Okay, so at this age of Isaac was being weaned. Now, I want you to understand, it's not that that Ishmael was a little kid, you know, 5-6 years old, running around and making fun of somebody. He was pretty close to a grown man. I want you to realize now that Abraham was what? 100 years old when he was born. We don't know how long it took for the weaning. Sometimes we know that can be a few months, but in some instances that they were a small child, like say 4 years old. You know, we remember when Samuel was taken to the house of God. He was a small child at that point, but we know that Ishmael was okay. Isaac was newborn and Abraham was 100. But if you will look back at, we're going to flip back in Genesis a couple of times. Genesis, about chapter 17. 17. I think we'll see it, or is it 16? Anyway, you will see that when Ishmael was born, Abraham was 86 years old. Let's see if that's in Genesis 17, about 23. Abraham was 99 years old. Ishmael was 13 years old. So at the age of 100, which is when he took him to this, Ishmael would have been 14. There's one even that goes back that tells you his age when he was born. And that would have been about Genesis it's back in there. He was 86. It says 86 years. So that was at that point. Now, so this child was no small baby. A 14-year-old boy could be very threatening to a toddler, you know? And where did he get that attitude? Now, the other thing we often think is, well, somebody makes a little mistake. Well, we remember we have been looking at men who ran to a well of refuge, and God heard them. But we're going to back up. We all know the story of Hagar, or at least you should know the story of Hagar, and we will read it. But first, I want us to back up. Well, let's read Genesis 21, and then we'll come back to it. 21 verses 9 to 19. Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. That's a heavy word there. Wherefore she said unto Abram, can this cast out this bondwoman and her son? For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. Now, he was at least 14 years old. I want you to remember that. This wasn't some little toddler thrown out. The thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his sons. He had wanted a son. And then first he was divested of Lot, who had to be separated from him. Then remember, somebody born in his house was separated from him. Then Ishmael was finally born. And now he has to be separated from him. Sometimes we have to learn to lose that we may gain. Amen. God said to Abraham, don't let it be grievous in your sight, because the bondwoman at Sarah said unto thee, hearken to her voice. See there, I told you, the Bible does tell men from time to time, listen to the voice of your wives. For Isaac shall be thy seed, in thy seed shall he be called. Okay. So, verse 14, Abraham rose up early in the morning, took bread and a bottle of water. Now there again are those elements, bread and a bottle of water, and put it on her shoulder, she and the child, sent him away to wander in the wilderness of Beersheba. And again, we also know what that is, bear being well. Even if you don't know Sheba, you know that. And the water was spent in the bottle. She cast the child under one of the shrubs. She went and sat down over against him a good way off, bow shot, for she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lifted up her voice and wept. Remember, she lifted up her voice and wept. Anyway, we know that they are delivered. We're going to come back to that great deliverance, because this is a well of deliverance, but it's a well of providential provision. But we have to sometimes understand the background of that. So we're going to back up to Genesis chapter 16. Genesis 16, we're going to start with about verse 4. So we understand at this point that Sarah kind of connived her own way, and she gave her handmaiden to Abraham, you know, like as a surrogate, thinking then was she, as happens sometimes with surrogates, then Sarah would get to be the mother of this child. But Hagar got all uppity, if you'll excuse me, and she thought, well, the heck with Sarah, I'm the mother of this child. Instead of being grateful that her handmaiden or her mistress had given her an opportunity and was giving an opportunity to her child. Verse 4, and he, Abraham, went into Hagar. She conceived, and when she saw she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. You know what? Sometimes it could have worked the reverse. She could have been grateful. Thank goodness I'm no longer just a servant. I get to bear the child of the master. I get to be the surrogate for my mistress. You know, she would have been treated with respect, but she kind of like Peninnah did with Hannah. She kind of waved it in her face and said, ha, see what I've got and you don't have. And so she despised her mistress. We know that God abhors when we despise those in leadership. Anyway, Sarah said to Abraham, my wrong be upon thee, and Abraham said to Sarah, behold, your handmaid is in your hand, do as you please. Sarah dealt hardly with her, and so what did she do? She fled from her sight, or from her face. Okay? Now remember, we studied about the other two men who ran away. So because her mistress was very harsh with her, then Hagar ran from the face of Sarah. And the angel of the Lord found her where? By a fountain of water. She found her by a well, a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain on the way to Shur. And he said to Hagar, the angel said to Hagar, Sarah's maid, whence comest thou? And whither will you go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress. The angels of the Lord said to her, return to thy mistress and submit thyself under her hand. He was not doing that as a punishment or hardship. When God asks us to submit, he has promotion in his plan. Had she submitted unto Sarah, both she and her son would have been promoted. But he said, what? Return and submit. That's one of the hardest things. I guess I'm reflecting a lot more often on my days of teaching young folks in ministry. It's hard to return under somebody else's tutelage and submit. But this is where God has us, because he has promotion for us. Amen? But she didn't. She returned, but she did not submit. And she had a bad attitude all the time. At least For 14 years, she had a bad attitude. We all can have a bad day or so and say something we shouldn't or do something we shouldn't. But to consistently have a bad attitude towards somebody, a disrespectful, undermining. Listen, if you are in a ministry and you can't be supportive and respectful and encouraging to leadership, then don't be there. Learn to support leadership. That doesn't mean you always have to agree with everything, but you don't air your differences. You don't undermine people. You are supportive. Amen? Return and submit. Well, she returned, but she did not submit, did she? And for 14 years, and she so invested that attitude to her son that later it comes back on him. Abraham didn't want Ishmael to go, but Sarah was right. It's like, look, it's not just Hagar that has to go. Ishmael has to go because he already has that attitude. Okay, we'll keep going here. Verse 10, and he, the angel of the Lord, said to her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. So already, there is a promise on this child. Verse 11, and see the difference between these two, Sarah and Hagar, because Hagar had that stiff-necked, haughty, unrepentant, disrespectful, unsubmitting attitude. It has now through the ages till now, still we have those rifts between various peoples that don't even know where it came from. The angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child and shall bear a son and shall call his name Ishmael. She ran when she was pregnant. She was haughty. See, look at me. I'm going to bear a son to the master, and you couldn't do that. And so if she had come back and had a better attitude, then it would have been good for her, good for her son, and good for all nations for years to come, decades and centuries to come. But his name, now look at it here. What did she do? She ran, and she went to a well. The angel found her by a well, a fountain of water in the wilderness. And he says, you're going to have a son and you should call his name Ishmael. Now, you do know, I presume, from your study of names, individuals' names, that in the Hebrew, basically, men had names that had a combination with the name of God in it. Yah, J-A-H, is one. E-L is very common, E-L. So like Samuel, Israel, and then there are others. But you will see them like J-A-H, although it's shortened to A-H, Isaiah. Jeremiah, see, those all have the names have a combination with the name of God. The women usually have names that have to do with nature or beauty, whether it be, the beauty of nature, which is, if you just an aside here, one of my usual asides, the marriage of a man and woman show the sovereignty of God, because it's the man's name shows God, the woman's name shows the beauty of nature. So he's what? God of what? Heaven and earth. The combination of those two, heaven and earth, are in a marriage with the man and the woman, that they both come to bear in those situations. Okay, Ishmael. So even though, we think of him as this outcast, his name still was with an E-L in it, Ishmael. And what that literally means is God will hear. God will hear. And I want you to remember that as we go along. So the story goes on. She goes back at 99 years old, 90 and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and, changed his name, and he walked perfectly before me. Neither shall thy name be called Abram anymore, but thy name shall be Abraham. And then he also makes the promise to Sarah, and they have a child. Abraham was 99 years old when he's circumcised in his flesh. Ishmael, his son, the Lord will hear, or God will hear, excuse me. His son was 13 years old, and the baby hasn't been born yet, so he's 14 years old, all right? All the men of the house were circumcised at this time. That was when his name was changed and the promise was given. Okay. Then it's funny because the angels that came to announce this to him, what did he do? What did they say? Verse 4, I'm just kind of as an aside. Give us a little water, I pray thee, and a morsel of bread. So again, there's this thing, this giving out bread and water and then the return of the blessing. Okay. So she has the child. The child is weaned. And Sarah says, whoa, this horrible attitude of Hagar that has existed for years has now colored the view of Ishmael. And I think she feared that he might actually do him harm. He was a very big kid at this point. And, you know, Isaac was a baby, and he could have truly hurt him. So Sarah said, nope, we're not putting up with this. So the Lord said, okay, what she says goes. So now we're to chapter 21. We read the first part where Sarah said, we circumcised Isaac, verse 4, in the eighth day, and God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born. Anyway, so then now comes the famous line that's then quoted in, it's not Romans, it's Hebrews, where she says the bondswoman, or Galatians, excuse me, the bondwoman will not be in the same house with the child of the home. So cast her out. Cast out the child of the bondwoman. Okay. So that's what they do. But where do they go and what happens? I know that was a lot of background, but I want you to understand those things. So as we go along, this should be kind of exciting now. It's that you know what all happened, that she ran away and that the angel found her by the well and he said, go back, return and submit and your child will be born. But she continued to have this bad attitude and the son grew up 14 years. He too was mocking Sarah and the other and the son of promise. And you don't do that. And so finally, you know, enough is enough, as they say. And so Abraham now has to bundle them off. Now, could Abraham have given better provision? I think so, but that's neither here nor there. Chapter 21, so Sarah, verse 9, saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abram, cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not, yeah, it was Galatians, I knew, I just kept going around till I got it, shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous to Abraham in his sight because of his son, not because of Hagar, she hadn't ingratiated herself much. And God said to Abraham, don't be grievous. It's okay. Isaac is going to be your heir. And so Abraham, verse 14, rose up early in the morning, took bread and a bottle of water. Again, those basic provisions for life. Bread always stands for the life of the flesh, and the water is for our soul life, gave unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder, and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. Again, that's a well, Beersheba, all right? And the water, verse 15, was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. Now, I think you're going to find Hagar is a less than attractive character. Watch this. So she put the boy under one of the shrubs, and when the water had run out, now remember the water ran out, put him under the shrub. Verse 16, she went and sat her down over against him a good way off. So she put the boy one place, then she went off quite a ways, and she sat down. And she sat over against him, and she lifted up her voice and wept. Oh, that sounds so good. Well, hang on, we'll get there. God heard the voice of Hagar? No. Some of you may not have your Bible in front of you, so you don't know. It says in verse 17, and God heard the voice of the lad. The voice of the lad. He doesn't say child or infant, does he? The voice of the lad. He was a young man. Wait a minute. She was the one that was weeping. It doesn't say anything about him raising his voice. Doesn't say anything about him praying or crying out to God or crying or anything. But God, it doesn't say God heard her tears. God heard the lad. Amen. This gets exciting to me now. It doesn't say he was crying. Let me tell you, there are some prayers that we make such a loud noise with, God doesn't even hear them. But there are some people who will, don't even seem to lift up their voice, and yet God hears them. Our voice is not our physical voice. He heard the voice of the lad. Oh, isn't that something? We all have a voice, and the voice, even people who are mute, even, you know, people who can't speak at all, have a voice. Your voice is not a physical thing. Your voice is a spiritual thing. God heard the voice of the lad. Oh, God hears our voice, not just those things we say with our physical voice. He didn't hear her prayers. She was crying and whining and weeping and wailing. He didn't hear her. Remember back to Genesis, the very beginning, when Cain slew Abel, and he came to him, he said, I hear the voice of your brother crying from the ground. His blood is crying unto me. So your blood has a voice. Let me tell you that God hears and sees. We live in a time now that the world, the secular world is understanding that even people who are dead still have a voice. We've talked about names, but let's also talk about our voice. They still have a voice. Even from the grave, you can have a voice. Amen. Think about all the people who died in the Holocaust. They have a voice before God. It's exciting to me that it doesn't say that he said anything, made any sound, yet the Lord heard his voice. For all the weeping and wailing she did, it doesn't even say once that the Lord heard her, but he heard him. Why? Because God said his name shall be what? Ishmael. Oh, it was God. The first time she ran away and was at a well, the angel appeared and said his name shall be Ishmael. What did I tell you? It means God will hear. Here this boy is again out in the wilderness. You'll see he's right by a well, but we'll get to that in a minute. And his name is Ishmael, and God did what? Heard. God will hear. That was his name. God gave it to him. Was he was by the well in the wilderness. Here he is again in the wilderness in need of a well. And what? God will hear. God heard. Amen. That's exciting. For God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. Not over where you are, where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in your hand, for I will make him a great nation. She had abandoned him. And it doesn't even say because she didn't want him to see her weeping or wailing. She didn't want to have to see him die. Oh, my goodness, this woman is some kind of mother. She went, sat down, or against a good way off, the Beauchamp said, let me not see the death of the child. She didn't want to see that. Oh, and we live in a time right now where people are being kept away from their loved ones, and they cry out they would give anything to be by the side of their loved one when they die. That's one of the things I do. I sit with people when they die. They want somebody there to hold their hand, to look them in the face, to tell them that they're loved, to tell them that God loves them. We need that connection, don't we? And yet she didn't want to have to see him die. But the Lord heard the lad. Praise the Lord. The Lord heard the lad. And so what did he do? And he said, "You get up, go get that boy and hold his hand. Amen. I will make him a great nation." Verse 19, here we're coming to that providential provision. And God created a well? No. For those of you who don't have your Bible, no. It said God opened her eyes and saw a well of water. And she went down and filled the bottle of water and gave the lad to drink. You remember, I kind of did it in this order too. You remember last week when we were talking about the two patriarchs. Well, one was a patriarch, one was Moses and Jacob. That remember that I said how that the well was covered with a stone, and so the stone had to be rolled off the thing. That's how they sealed them up, but it's also how they disguised them. They didn't want just everybody coming by. So you kind of disguise it. You put a rock by it, and nobody will know. You know, even people today do that. These rocks that hold a key. Well, you just don't. You want to hide your key so every, Tom, Dick, and Harry coming by can't say, oh, let's use the key to that house. So you hide it in a rock, don't you? You know, I mean, there are other things, and people do the same thing when they want to put sprinklers in their yard, or they want to put lights. Some people use those things for when they want to light up part of their yard. They have these lights, but the front of them kind of disguised as a rock. Well, this is how they disguised the well, so just not everybody would come by. So if you knew where it was, then of course you could use it. Well, she, of course, this was not her territory. She was out wandering in the wilderness, and she flopped down in this place. She's ready to die. She's in despair. She has given up. Oh, man, sometimes we get to that place, and we plop down in despair. Well, if God can make that provision for somebody like Hagar, then certainly for us who are his children and who love him, how much more will he make provision for us? It isn't that God made a well right where she collapsed, but rather how, quote unquote, coincidental that she collapsed right where there was already a well. The well was there, but she didn't recognize it as what it was. The well was there, but she didn't realize it was a well. How many times have we gotten to that point of discouragement or even despair or disheartening, and we just kind of collapse, go, that's it, Lord, I can't go any farther, only to realize that right where we are, God knew in advance that's where we were going to be. And so he had already provided provision before she got there. Praise the Lord. There already was a well, and she just, quote unquote, happenstance, just happened to collapse right by that well. And so all God did was open her eyes to the provision he had already put in place. You know, sometimes we ask God for this. God, give me this or give me that. God, give me a job. I need a job. Not realizing there already is a job for you. You just need to open your eyes and see it. Sometimes, oh, God, I need this kind of thing, or I need that kind of thing. I learned that a long time ago. There isn't anything that I need that God hasn't already provided. So sometimes I'll just stop and go, okay, Lord, you know that right now this and this is what's going on. I need you to show me where it is. Remember when Jesus sent his disciples out to get him the donkey to ride on into Jerusalem? He didn't say, well, go start looking for one. He told them, and when they went, the donkey was already there. I'm telling you, whatever it is you need from God, it's already there. He knew where you would come to the end of your rope. He knew where you would come to the end of your bottle of water, when you would come to the end of your encouragement, where you would come to where you couldn't take it anymore. And right there, right under your nose, there already is provision. We need to learn to just thank him, ask him to show us where that provision is. Instead of saying, God, provide for me, say, God, thank you that you've already made that provision. Now show me. Let me be like Hagar. Open my eyes to see it. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well. And this well, again, remember we've talked about whether they're dug wells or spring wells. This was a spring well. So this is, open your eyes where the water is already springing up out of the ground. And she filled her bottle with water, and she gave it to the lad to drink. And God was with the lad. Didn't say it was with her. She made some boo-boos and then picking a wife for him. And he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. God named him before he was born. In the womb, God named him that God will hear. And now when he comes to this desperate point in his life, again collapsing by a well, and even when he didn't open his mouth, God heard. God will hear. God will hear. And for God to hear is for God to provide. Amen. Remember in a little bit when Abraham takes Isaac up, as a grown, again, about this age, he's a grown man, to sacrifice him. And he prays, and that's where God reveals himself as Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. But remember what it's actually, the literal meaning of that is the Lord will see. When the Lord sees, the Lord provides. When the Lord hears, the Lord provides. Amen. The Lord, nothing takes the Lord by surprise. We don't have to say, well, I know you see my problem and I'm begging you, you know, to do something about it. Remember the 10 lepers. Maybe not. There were two lepers. There were several lepers at various times. But the one leper comes to Jesus and he says, Lord, I know you can make me whole, but I don't know if that's your will or your desire. I don't know if you want to make me whole. And Jesus does this remarkable thing. When the scriptures say that to touch a leper would make you unclean. And, you know, Jesus followed the Jewish law, didn't he? The Levitical law. Yet here, he reached out. The poor leper was so used to people rejecting him and despising him and saying, Lord, I know you have the power to heal me, but I don't know if you want to. And Jesus reached out and touched him, grabbed him by the shoulder or gave him a hug or whatever it was, but he touched him. He didn't even use words to say, well, it's my will. He touched him. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. He touched him. That communicated his heart more than any amount of words. He took an action and he touched him. And instead of the leper making Jesus unclean, Jesus, the virtue from him, made the leper whole. Here again, God sees, and God provided a ram in the bush. God hears not the wailing of the mama, but the heart of the boy who was named. God will hear. And here is where he heard. When he was under that bush, dying with a mother who'd abandoned him, over crying for herself because she didn't want to have to see it. What does he do? He hears the boy. And he shows Hagar. Look. Quick, Ryan, and look right there, right under that rock that you're leaning up against. Open your eyes. It's there. My prayer is that God will open our eyes to see the providential provision He has already provided for us. There is provision already for us. Amen. Have God open our eyes. Have God cleanse our heart from all those bad attitudes that can stick us in a rough place. But even for us there, there is a well. There is a well. So the well of Hagar, or maybe I should sell the well for Ishmael, was there all along. And so God provided that well that truly, when we need it, He opens our eyes and we see it. When we were little kids, you know, there was a, you know, my mom taught us little, you know, little jingles and little rhymes. And one of them was, you know, water, water everywhere and not a drop to drink. There was everything all around them, but she did not even see that well. There was, she was sitting on a well, but didn't know. She rolled off that stone and there was a well, and she filled her flask. She took it to the boy and drank deeply. God has provided for you a well of provision. May He open our eyes to see it. May we drink deeply of it. May we be grateful for the fact that even before we were born, God determined that He will hear us. God will hear, God will see, and God will provide. In Jesus' name, amen. It was wonderful to be with you. Looking forward to being with you again next week. God bless.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
Thank you for joining God in the Midst, Get 'Em Radio's Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Enjoy the entire family of Get 'Em Radio broadcasts by calling 516-418-5699. That's 516-418-5699. Now, mark your calendars and set your cell phone alarms. Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures, is aired every Monday at lunchtime, 12 noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern. Prophetic Healing with the Healing Community is on the second Wednesday of every month, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. And the Thursday edition of God in the Midst airs every Thursday at 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern. Once again, you can listen to all these broadcasts as they air by calling 516-418-5699. When you have an opportunity, Google Get 'Em Radio. That's GITM Radio. And listen to this broadcast in its entirety, as well as all of Get 'Em Radio's on-demand podcast. As you listen to our podcast, click the follow button, and you will get a reminder via email of all our upcoming episodes. You may contact us at getemradio@gmail.com or call us at area code 314-325-9986. We'd love to hear from you. Also, meet us on Facebook at God in the Midst and like us because we like you too. Have a blessed rest of the day.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.